Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne Elliott, your guest host today from the North Shore of Lake Erie up here in Canada, the Great White North. And thank you for joining us today, this last day of 2020, December 31st, New Year's Eve day. It's kind of fitting. This one's coming to an end, folks. Has to have been the wildest year, and certainly in my 66, almost 67 of them. And things I never dreamt in my life I'd ever see, we've seen a lot of this year. So it's been a great year to put behind us. By the same token, I do want to express, you know, my gratitude for good health and good friends and family and programs like this, the Power Hour. With Daniel Brigman, used to be with Joyce Riley, who both great people, both great radio hosts, and both always were and still are, in Daniel's case, sincerely interested in your freedom, your liberty, your health, your well-being. It's been a mantle of this show since the start. I was on one of the very early shows with Joyce. First year, I believe. A great lady, and I know she's missed by so many still and will never be forgotten. Daniel has done a great job and taken over for Joyce, and I am very grateful that I get to come on with you folks fairly regularly and sometimes pitch hit for Daniel. We're both baseball players, so that's kind of fitting, too. We're both pitchers, though, so hitting wasn't a big thing. It sure has been a wild, different, things that never happened before a year. So again, to be grateful for what we do have, I think, you know, there's been one fairly major benefactor from 2020, much to the chagrin of many, mind you, but then that is the environment with, literally, millions less commercial airplane flights in the world today in this past year. You know, the atmosphere, it's amazing how nature can clean herself up when we give her a break, just like the Great Lakes. Boy, when I was a kid, you could almost walk across Lake Erie. I mean, not really, but it was very, very polluted. And of course, it wasn't until 1970, I believe in both our countries, Canada and the U.S., that we got an Environmental Protection Act. And, I mean, lucky we did. We probably should have caught on in the first place that running pipes with dangerous sludge and chemicals and sewage and so forth into our fresh water wasn't a good idea. But anyway, we caught on finally. And Lake Erie is a very clean lake now. I live on the North Shore of Lake Erie. In fact, a little bit too clean, they say, when these foreign creatures like the zebra mussels and these ugly fish, these goby fish, came in. They cleaned the lake a little too much, and so there are times, at least here on the North Shore, where we'll get some algae different times through the year. But I think that Environmental Protection Act was a good thing. Many people think some of the regulations go too far, I can't disagree with that. We're in environmental businesses, and there's tremendous effort spent on environment and safety. Safety is, I'm very proud of and happy about that. That's just top importance to any team. And the environment, I mean, this is where we live, and this is what we're going to pass on to the kids and their kids and future generations. So I think a lot of good things have happened. It's interesting, though, that we don't seem to there's a lot of, like many things today, there's a lot of division in the world as to what's the best way forward in terms of power sources and fuel and so forth. They're again divided on opposite sides. I have mixed feelings about it because, in a perfect world, I guess everything would be perfect. But you also have to look at the practical side of things. You have to look at capacity. Have to look at how much oil is left in the world. I guess apparently we've gone through more than half in 100 years that it took 4 billion years to create the oil that we've got out of the ground, out of the earth. So some of these alternatives, I think, are very good things. And I know you have your share in America as well, but the windmill technology has certainly been a big thing here in Ontario. And we have nuclear power as well here in Ontario, and shut down our coal-burning plants several years ago because of the environment. But they, you know, the adversaries claim that it's too far a stretch to replace all of our power needs with many of these alternative sources like solar and wind. So the beat will go on there, and hopefully smart people keep coming up with smart things. It's one thing to go this movement towards electric cars. There's some great benefits. However, you do need the electricity to keep these cars running. So everything has two sides to it. You know, amongst all the other things that go on in the world every year, this year, of course, has been dominated really by two things: the U.S. presidential election and the lead up to it, and the COVID coronavirus, which now that the U.S. election is over, this COVID seems to take 100% of the main media news that we're offered on television these days. We've talked about this before. I know you all have with Daniel that these days, it's not like the old days with Walter Cronkite and that bunch that really just reported the news, didn't give opinion. And today we have the opposite. So that's sure done a couple of things. It's created so much fear this year that it's like never before in the world. And, you know, it has made our governments, at least, do things that, the lasting negative effects like death and mental illness and so forth, the carnage, financial carnage to so many, is just going to last for a very long time. So I don't know what the division rate is. I don't say it's 50-50 or anything like that, but there's growing frustration regarding these shutdowns. In Ontario itself right now, Christmas night at midnight, we went into lockdown in Ontario for 28 days. And, you know, lockdown is just that. The essential services work goes on. You can still get food, your medicines and so forth. But everything else, basically, anywhere where we would go out to enjoy ourselves, go to the movies or to a restaurant with family or friends or a coffee shop. Here in Canada, Tim Hortons is the main place to go. And they're all closed now for 28 days. I don't know how many jobs that represents in Ontario, but certainly the majority of people would either be working from home remotely, the lucky ones, or not working. And what the first lockdown did to business, small business particularly, in Canada and the United States was somewhat of a disaster with bankruptcies and stores that have survived, retailers that have survived, of course, are many of them at least cash crunched, surviving through the last lockdown and the bills that kept going on, the rent and the electricity and telephone and so forth. And they had to go to the grocery store too, like the rest of us, get their needs and supplies. This second round will just add to that long, terrible list. I just read in Nova Scotia, one of our maritime provinces here in Canada, they had the lowest personal bankruptcy rate the lowest foreclosure rate on folks losing their homes, having them repossessed by the lender in decades. 2020 was the lowest, and of course that's because the the government of Canada paid everyone who asked, really, first $500 a week, then $600 a week. This included folks that were working just part-time jobs as well, a day or a half day or 2 days a week. They got the same amount of money. So that's both created some problems of its own. As people try and get going again, they cannot get the part-time workers because they're still getting that fine government check to not go to work here in Canada. That's a federal program. It costs, you know, hundreds of billions. And in Nova Scotia, it has saved so many people from going bankrupt and losing their homes. However, this report went on to say when the government assistance that's planned to be finished, and I forget when it said, March or June of this 2021, that they will set records in the opposite direction. One of the things our government foolishly did was give all this money out to folks, and not until well into it, months and months later, said, well, you know, that is taxable, and to help you, we haven't deducted the taxes of the normal deductions, unemployment insurance, Canada pension plan, so forth. They gave them the full amount of the check, the gross amount, like what you don't get on your paychecks. Wherever you work, they take those deductions off, income tax being the biggest one. So, you know, makes common sense. This report went on to say, where are these folks now who needed this so badly and may not have been in the best shape to start with financially? Where will they get the $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 for the income tax that they'll owe come April for 2020? So I'm not sure what happened in the U.S. I think these were just, I don't believe the monies that the federal government has helped folks with, I don't think is taxable, but I don't know that for sure, really. My wife is American. I guess I'll learn soon enough. But, it's going to be a toughie now in Canada when they end this and go back to some kind of normal. The Prime Minister here has said that he plans to continue some kind of special unemployment insurance. And, boy, I just hope in the end it doesn't make it difficult for anyone to hire staff and help the workforce to run their business and keep everything going. It's a bit of an anomaly, you know, a bit of a puzzle. In the U.S., the election, the leading up to it, the 80 million ballots mailed out, And I think I mentioned this with Daniel last time, the fact that the president complained about this, President Trump complained about this months before the election, that apparently not such a thing had been done before. Apparently you have to request a mail-in ballot. That's what I understood anyway, but 80 million of them got sent out. And then I don't know if any of you have seen any of the videos of the one video where after the watchers or the inspectors were done for the day, they pulled out suitcases, big black bags full of ballots. And you know, overnight in the wee hours, in several states, there was hundreds of thousands of votes, mostly for Mr. Biden. That's one of the things I guess President Trump's complaining about now. I really wonder what's going to happen. I mean, whether you're for the president or you like his personality or not is really a second issue in my opinion. It's the job that he does. He certainly is unconventional, not what we're used to, because he wasn't a politician, and he also never had a day's peace. I noticed in the 4 years, not one day where he was left alone to do the job you Americans hired him for, voted him in for. I think it's amazing what was accomplished given the nonstop 4 year battle that went on while he's been president of the United States. Some of the some of the accomplishments really have been tried and not done for decades. That one thing about President Trump, he seems to, he's like a football player. Boy, he goes right for the goal line and to get his goals met. But I think that's going to, whatever comes of this U.S. election is sure going to affect what 2021 looks like. I'm not sure about America. I think the U.S. government did a better job, certainly, than the Canadian government, because you guys in America, you will manufacture at least some of these vaccines that end up being approved for COVID. We don't have a manufacturing facility, believe it or not, in Canada, and despite $1.2 billion towards creating one and doing the research for a Canadian-made vaccine, that's what we were told when the $1.2 billion went. We don't have it, and we also did not buy any licenses from any of the seven companies. We're probably the only first world, or whatever you want to call us, I don't want to say civilized world, but the modern world, I believe we're the only country that hasn't protected itself and bought licenses to produce it. Because there's jobs attached to it, too, you know. Robots don't make these viruses. There has to be humans involved. So there's jobs. So all of Canada's vaccines will come from elsewhere, like the United States. And I know our prime minister was really encouraged first with one announced in China. And that's a little ironic, it seems to me, that the very source of this problem, now we're gonna pay them for part of the solution, is something else. But so we'll be waiting fairly long here in Canada. I don't know what the situation is in the U.S. I mean, I know they can't magically just make billions of doses of these vaccines, but here in Canada, the next batch apparently is 4 million doses, so that will do 2 million people, or just over 5% of Canadians by April. And the rest of us who would like one, a vaccine, are told that it's likely October, November. So another year, basically, until most Canadians that want one could get a vaccine. Having said that, we took a lot of money and actually ordered 418 million doses between the seven manufacturers. And this, of course, was all pending approval by Health Canada, which so far has approved two, I believe. But 418 million doses, I thought to myself, what the heck? There's only 35, 36 million people in Canada. And if everybody needs two, why would we buy the extra, whatever it is, 350 million doses, all that money? But I guess, as usual, we will we'll give that away to other countries. Nice thing to do, absolutely, but costs a lot of money that Canada doesn't have. And here we wait. So 2021 could be, of course, a difficult year. I imagine they'll want to keep the fear rolling the best they can, because they would sooner we didn't decide not to have the vaccine or didn't need it. That's for sure. With all this effort and all this money being spent, you know, there's an expectation on the other side for a lot of money to be made. If they could somehow mandate or order that the entire world was vaccinated, some 7.8 billion people. Well, it's trillions and trillions of dollars. I just want to make this note. It's trillions and trillions of dollars. And that would be the single largest, in terms of dollars, the single largest project ever undertaken in the world. They've been playing with that word mandatory here in Canada for months now, long before there was a vaccine even being tested. They've been talking about mandatory. They showed scary videos at one point where our director of health, this Chinese woman, Dr. Tam, while she spoke, they showed videos of people being arrested and put in the back of police cruisers And this was all about, you know, not getting vaccinated. You won't be able to leave your city and you won't be able to leave your country to go anywhere. Just straight fear. I thought to myself, boy, people are scared out of their wits watching citizens being put into handcuffs and into police cars. But they did. That's what they showed. And, you know, I'm not sure about U.S. law, but in Canada, it would actually be against the law to order everyone to be vaccinated. So I think they might go about it in different ways, because just yesterday, our health department in Canada ordered that, and it'll happen in a few days, they said, when the pieces are in place at the airports, that you will need to show a 3-day old maximum negative test result. In other words, you'll need proof on your person that within the past 3 days before you get on an airplane to fly into Canada, that you have this test and that it's negative. Otherwise, you won't be allowed on the airplane to fly into Canada. So, you know, this is one of the things that was talked about when they said, well, you know, it may not be mandatory, but maybe you won't be able to leave the country. Maybe you won't be able to come back if you haven't been vaccinated. Maybe you won't be able to get a job at most places. So I don't know whether the government's going to take that position. To work for the government in any capacity, you must be vaccinated. I wouldn't be surprised. But it doesn't sound a whole lot like freedom. It doesn't sound a whole lot like freedom to me. It's, I mean, the whole thing, obviously, is very disturbing to all of us, unless we're in the vaccine business or the business where we're somehow profiting in a big way from this. There's the music, folks. We're going to take a break for a few words, and I'll be back. Thanks for joining the Power Hour. Happy New Year's Eve Day, December 31st, 2020.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Oil of Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Welcome back, folks, and my pleasure and honored, as always, to be with you today. Wayne Elliott here, your guest host. And I don't want to finish the show. We've got a fabulous guest coming on the second hour that I'll tell you about in a minute. But the Power Hour, you know, brings you these radio programs every day. And I know the effort that goes in with Daniel and Catherine, Jay, to both operate the business of this radio program and to get the best guests they can to for your best interest and interest. And so they're always grateful, of course, for your support of the Power Mall. And I got to tell you, folks, I've been involved in the natural health business for more than two decades now, and as an advocate and been schooled by Jim Strauss Sr. for many, many months, years and years ago, learned so much. But they truly appreciate your support at the Power Mall. They have the very finest products. I know that about them, and always have had. I can recall conversations with Joyce Riley years ago, and she was always adamant about that. It's never been about making money. It's never been at the Power Hour. Power Mall has never been about making money. It's been about presenting these programs and trying to help people. You know how passionate Joyce was, and Daniel's just as passionate, Catherine, Jay. Just as I am, I do many radio shows in many places, and it's that passion and rewards of being even some small part of helping someone else. That's what drives people that do this. And so, you know, we're all sincerely interested in your well-being and your health. And so appreciate your support at the Power Mall always. They have great specials on. We've talked about so many issues these days that could give rise to anxiety and stress. And I know that. I know many people. I talk to many people. And despite my training, I have several years of training, awareness training and so forth, pretty intense. I have to admit that 2020 was, for the most part, an anxious year for me between really before COVID with this U.S. election, I hated to see some of the things that were going on in the campaigning and how your president was just attacked every single day, 7 days a week. It was never. I used to play a game with the media news that I hate and don't watch because it's just garbage. And I would flip on one station. I would flip on CNN to see if I could catch a time when President Trump's name wasn't in the white banner on the bottom of the screen. And so I would just do that. I'd only go on there for 2 or 3 minutes. That's all I could take. And for months, there was never a time that Trump wasn't part of that headline or that statement at the bottom of the screen. And then COVID hit, and it was a combination of Trump and COVID. And this mainstream, as they call it, media, particularly the television media, has there's someone backing all this. There's no doubt about that. To attack the way they have, and some things so ludicrous to create this fear in people. I just did some writings and with Statistics Canada, and I was surprised myself to see that in 2018. 2019 and 2020, they did it from the July to July. So it's really half a 17 and half a 18, half 18, half a 19, 19 and half a 20. So up till July of this year, each of those 3 years, there was almost the exact same number of deaths in Canada. And it was about 186,000. It was the average number of deaths. And there wasn't a variance of 1,000. As I recall, in the 3 years. Well, you know, I'm a big arithmetic guy. I've been in the metal business. You know, arithmetic has been a big part of it. Weights, truck weights, gross weights, care weights, net weights, tons, kilograms. You know, I dismantle ships. Weight and arithmetic has been an important part of my work. And this arithmetic just keeps not adding up, truthfully. It just doesn't add up. Now, if COVID, for example, killed so many people that would not have died otherwise, why aren't those figures higher for the first half of 2020? Why didn't that make them higher than the previous years? Now, I know, like in the United States, and I guess there are several reasons for it or motives for it, most everything has been called death from COVID. It keeps coming up here in the news and in reports that one lady was quite offended. Her dad passed with 4-stage lung cancer, and they put COVID on his death certificate. And that affected his life insurance policy. So, you know, who knows if that's part of this play and you don't get your life insurance if it's COVID that you've had. I don't know. And that's sickening if that's the case. But another motivation, I've been told in America, hospitals got an extra $13,000 and change dollars for every admission of a patient with COVID or for COVID. And $39,000 in change if they were put on a ventilator. And geez, the things I've read about these ventilators, you could hardly boast about their success rate. And there's been so many professionals, so many MDs, PhDs come forward with telling us that some of these things we're doing are not the right way to go. There's so much evidence. There's a group of 50,000 doctors and health professionals in the world that are trying to change people's minds and change government's minds about wearing masks. And they have some very strong evidence. Some of it makes perfect sense. I don't think we're meant to breathe the same air we've breathed out. You know, we're meant to have fresh air. And then, of course, there's people that really struggle to wear the likes of any of these masks. And geez, you almost need to have a sign on your back that you have with your medical note on it for the way some people have acted when they see someone without a mask here in Canada. But anyway, it's got us against each other. It's really helped divide us. As I've written several times and commented several times on the radio, in this country, in Canada, all the decision makers, well, they're being paid full. They haven't missed a pay. They haven't missed a penny. For some of them, I guess it's been nice working from home, able to put supper on while you're working or, you know, do other things you might do in your house during the workday. Very convenient for many. Pensions, every day counts, of course, towards their pension and so forth. And I wrote this the other day. I'm left to wonder, what would the conditions and restrictions be if we all had a vote in it? That means all the people who are at home without their pay right now and no job, no income. It means the people in business who, with their shops closed, they've gone or are going bankrupt or are in serious financial straits. I've just read a lot here in Canada and in the U.S. It's been the same. Just some real family tragedies. Work a business for a long, long time, and then you lose by default. You know, it had nothing to do with you. You couldn't have helped it. And I just wonder if all you 330 million Americans that had a vote about how this was going to be handled, or if all us 35 or 7 million Canadians had had a vote, I'm sure it'd be very divided. But at this point, you know, the people who aren't getting their full income and their pension days counting and vacation days and benefits and all the rest of it. So it's in terms of the financial effect of this on them. It's none. It's no effect. Maybe they save money not having to drive to work if they're working from home or something, paying for gasoline and so forth, but had no financial detrimental effect on them when, you know, virtually the rest, most of the rest, I guess the coming up here soon, some of the pharmaceutical companies are going to have the heyday of their existence with these vaccinations. And I suppose some of the mask companies and sanitizer so there are those that are benefiting tremendously. But look at the other side of it. A huge industry like airlines, for example. And I had to fly last month and flew into the United States myself. And it was quite impressive, actually. The TV screen that's in front of your seat, at least the plane I was on had the TV screen. And when they went through their safety review, they also included the extra precautions due to COVID and showed what they do to the airplane in between flights and the great air makeup system that's been installed in the jetliners. And the U.S. Army actually said the safest place to be indoors in the United States of America is in a jetliner. Now, I'm sure they have to make it pretty darn safe, folks, because otherwise, holy cripes, there'd be 200 and 300 people at a time infected and then go home to their families. And so I guess they're doing a good job of it. It's kind of weird, though, that just unless you're an essential services worker or work for an essential services company, you can't cross the Canada-U.S. border in your vehicle, not even by yourself or with your family, in your own vehicle. And that doesn't add up. I can't find one reason for that. It can't be because Canadians and Americans don't want the economy benefits from each other visiting and so forth. I just can't find one smart reason for that we can fly but we can't drive. And it's not a matter of quarantining and that. It's no, you cannot drive across the border unless you work for an essential services company and you're going on essential services business. So, you know, things like this don't add up. I can tell you that the hospitals that we hear are, oh, it's the worry that they're overburdened. Well, I believe some of them are. And I would imagine in the big cities where there's more people, more infections, probably more chance of getting infections, the big buildings and so forth, between office buildings and high-rise apartment buildings and condominiums, there's a lot of people in some of these big cities. So they've been pushing on the news that there's 100, you know, another number, fear by numbers, folks. There's 120,000 people in hospital in the United States, they said. So after about the second day of hearing this, I thought, you know, 330 million people, I would have thought there's more than 120,000 in the hospital at any given time. When you consider all the ailments that we go to the hospital for, surgeries, open heart surgeries, cancer, I mean, you name it, stomach ailments, broken bones, accidents, and diabetes and so forth. They're just, there's too long a list to name all the ailments that can land us in the hospital. So I looked up the statistics in the United States, and it said that on the, it was kind of funny. You had to ferret the information out because they broke it down by minimum one night stays. So it said on the average day, there's a minimum of 65,000 people in U.S. hospitals in the average day. And, of course, that covers all the ailments a person goes to the hospital for. Well, there's a lot of people who go in for more than a day, folks. One friend of mine just had open-heart surgery, God love him, amazing, tough fellow and all, but amazing. In 4 days or for the fifth day, they let him go home. Well, you know, there's just a lot of people in for more than one day is my point. A lot of people didn't have that statistic, but we all know that to be true. We've all visited loved ones and friends in the hospital. So I said to myself, so if everyone was in there an average of 2 days, that's 130 million people or 10 million more than is claimed are in hospital now. Now, you know, it would take some work, I suppose, to find out the true figures, and there are so many hospitals in the United States and so forth. But just simple arithmetic again, folks. Then, you look at the arithmetic, Statistics Canada. Same number of people died over the last 3 years. Now, that is only up till July of this year, but let's face it, folks, with the numbers we were being reported to us, there was apparently a lot of people died by July with COVID. I mean, heck, it caused lockdowns and shutdowns, and we were on a federal shutdown here, and I think you were in the United States too, in Canada, federal shutdown. Now it's most of the big cities in Canada are locked down. The province of Ontario, where I live, that's where almost half the population of Canada lives, that's where Toronto is locked down. And yet they're already warning us. I heard Dr. Fauci that there's going to be another wave, and it's going to be the worst yet. That was the evil of us getting together, perhaps, at Christmas time. Here in Canada, they've basically preach the same thing that, oh, it'll get worse yet. Well, if you lock things down and 90% of people are staying home most all the time, and then you open things up, and not all those people, believe me, there's a lot of scared Canadians, but a lot of those people go back out, of course the infection rate's going to go up as it would with the flu, common cold, or anything else contagious. So, you know, are we really just delaying this, you know, they're and what bothers me most, truthfully, I wish these, I don't plan to get one, but I wish these vaccinations were available to folks who wanted them right now. And of course, I pray that they're safe. There's been some deaths. They've discovered that with the serious allergies, no, you can't have a vaccine. They only discovered that, folks, not with the test, but after several people died. Two ladies in Europe, one American lady in Alaska with allergy issues, and they died. So that's the only reason they're saying now, if you have allergies, no, you probably can't have the vaccine. It's not a positive, is all I'm saying. So I really wish they could have done a lot more studying before vaccinating people. But let's just pray that it's pretty darn safe. But I wish it were available sooner, because another year of this, and that's what it looks like in Canada. If vaccines aren't available to everyone till November, that's another year. And I really can't imagine. And what's going to go on during that year? They've also, and this is strange to me, we've all heard that, geez, there's no flu this year, no influenza B. Well, that's nonsense. Of course there is. There is every year. It's not curable. You can get the flu shot, as it's called. One time I did, over 20 years ago, I got the flu. Most of us have had it a few times in our lives. And it could be nasty, and most of us don't run to the hospital. You're too busy hanging around the toilet with the flu. Pneumonia. Pneumonia apparently kills over 50,000 Americans per year. Not hearing about those deaths either. So the new thing, and you're going to hear more of it, is PICs. That's pneumonia, influenza, COVID. They're being lumped together. And what's that going to do? Increase numbers, isn't it? It's going to increase numbers. And you know, so we all know that you can die. The flu kills up to 650,000 people annually in the world every year, influenza B. Pneumonia kills, well, 50,000 people in America alone. And COVID, we have all the proof we need that these numbers are not, that we've been put to us, and still on major media, mainstream media, still the original numbers with no mind to what's been proven. First in Florida and New York, that with a whole bunch of random testing, that a tremendous amount of the population had already had it and had no symptoms or mild symptoms. You know, most of us don't run to the doctor or the hospital with a runny nose or a cough. Most of us, I don't believe, do. In the States, unless you have really fine coverage, I know it costs you money. Here in Canada, it's free. The challenge is getting an appointment. And but most of us, I don't think, run for very, you know, we'll say, geez, I've got a cold, I've got a scratchy throat, I've got a sore throat, I've got a headache, I've got, you know. And yet they've produced all these figures. And really, I think that many of us believe the figures have been exaggerated by 1,000% or slightly more. There is a difference between dying with COVID with the flu than there is dying from it. And again, it's in the high 80s, 90% range that it's elderly people, at least at the age, the average age of death or older. I'm not trying to be cold here by any means. I'm just pointing out that the average age is 74, 75 years old. So yes, over 90% of the cases are in that age group. Over 80s were the highest percentage, have already outlived the average man or woman by years. And, you know, where we didn't do a very good job, at least here in Canada, protecting the elderly, protecting people in nursing homes, you know, that we should have. Many are asking the question, why is the rest of us shut down? Why are we going through this carnage? You know, when for the most part, younger people are not dying unless they have serious pre-existing conditions. And as I've said before, folks, many times, we don't always know even that we have a pre-existing condition. If your cells started dividing unevenly in your body yesterday, You don't know that you have cancer till it's discovered. You have a pain, you have lump, you have this or that, and you go to a doctor and they do some diagnostics. That's the one thing that the Western medicine has been pretty darn good for, is diagnostics in this past a number of years, high technology. That's when we often find out we have cancer. So there are people, and since it kills 9.5 million people a year in the world, it means there's 9.5 in waiting for 2021, folks. Again, not to be cold, but that's just the facts. And do all those 9.5 million know they have cancer yet? No. No, that's not possible either. Many of them no doubt do, fighting it. But until you know, you don't know. So my belief is that any of these younger people that have ended up dying and had in fact, COVID, my belief is that they did have something wrong with them otherwise, whether they knew it or not. So it just leaves you to the, you know, what I wonder next is, let's say COVID's over shortly, what'll we do with the flu next year? We're going to be back in the second hour, folks, with a very special guest, a PhD, educated man who has spent many years trying to help people and improve their well-being. We'll be back shortly. Thank you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.